Thanks, Ian. So I'll just introduce Helen. Helen Rowell is APRA's General Manager of Policy Development. She has responsibility for oversight of all of APRA's policy development activities. She joined APRA in 2002, and Helen's held roles as General Manager in Diversified Institutions Division, Specialist Risk Services, and Industry Technical Services. Please welcome Helen Rowell.
Good morning, everyone, and I just echo Ian's comments. It's fabulous to see such a great turnout today, and we hope you do get some value out of it. As Ian has indicated, what I propose to do is to give a few brief comments on some of the overarching themes that have been raised through the consultation process today, and then hand over to you to ask us questions. And Melinda has already highlighted some of those themes in her opening comments. Just to emphasise that we obviously did get a lot of technical comments and submissions on technical detail around the proposals as well, and you'll hear more about those and have an opportunity to ask questions about those technical issues in the sessions after morning tea. So the first broad theme that I'm going to talk about is around complexity. And we acknowledged in the discussion paper and reiterated in the response paper that the proposed capital framework was more complex than the current standards in some areas. But our view was that some increase in complexity was actually inevitable if we were to achieve our objective, and that primary objective is enhancing the risk sensitivity of the capital standards. So with enhancing risk sensitivity comes some level of increase in complexity. Having said that, we have certainly heard your message loud and clear that in some areas the increased complexity was too great relative to the degree of enhanced risk sensitivity that was actually achieved by the proposals, and that we had not achieved an appropriate balance between enhanced risk sensitivity whilst keeping the framework simple and clear. So we've accepted those arguments in a number of areas and endeavoured to simplify the proposals where felt appropriate. And again, you'll hear more details about those changes in the sessions after morning tea. But in particular, we've modified aspects of the calculation approach for the asset risk charge. We have revisited the elements of the insurance risk charge for life insurers. And we've revisited aspects of the insurance concentration risk charge for general insurers to address some of the particular issues around complexity that were raised through consultation. There are a number of other aspects of the proposals that we've also endeavoured to simplify. But there are some areas and some sort of fundamental aspects of the proposals where we've retained our approach. And in particular, we've retained the fundamental approach to the calculation of the asset risk charge. That is, to have a charge that is based on assessing the impact of different stresses on an insurer's balance sheet. APRA's view is that it is appropriate that insurers understand the impact of movements in their assets and liabilities, and in particular any mismatch between those assets and liabilities. We also feel it's appropriate that insurers hold capital, appropriate levels of capital in respect of those risks, asset risks, and that those asset risks need to reflect explicitly the nature and duration of the balance sheet assets and liabilities. APRA's also retained a Pillar 1 capital charge for operational risk, even though the consultation feedback indicated that the proposed formula was overly simplistic and added complexity to the capital calculation for little gain in risk sensitivity. APRA's view is that it is important to set a base level of required capital in respect of this important risk, which impacts all insurers. We acknowledge that the proposed formula is not as risk sensitive as some would like. It's certainly not as risk sensitive as we would like. But it is a start. And we are very open to suggestions for improvements to the proposed approach to enhance its risk sensitivity. But those proposals need to be objective, based on objective measures, and also not unduly complex, so that we again achieve the right balance between risk sensitivity and complexity. I think it's also important to note, and we indicated this in both the discussion paper and the response paper, that we expect approaches to the determination of operational risk capital to evolve. And so we do expect to change our approach in this area over time, but we wanted to make a start. Feedback also indicated that the inclusion of the aggregation benefit added an additional layer of complexity, and in particular that it would make the capital calculation more difficult to understand and explain, and in particular more difficult to understand and explain movements in required capital. APRA's view here is that the aggregation benefit is fundamentally important, that it significantly improves the risk sensitivity of the determination of required capital and ensures that there's explicit recognition of the variation in exposure to asset and insurance risk between insurers. So in our view, its benefits outweighs the additional complexity. And further, we feel that the concepts of diversification and related concept of correlation that underpin the aggregation benefit and other elements of the proposed capital framework, so for example in the asset risk charge, these concepts should not be unfamiliar to the insurance industry. Finally, feedback suggested that a consequence of the complexity of the proposals was that the capital framework would be less transparent and would increase the difficulties for boards and management of decision-making and capital forecasting, the so-called black box issue. Our view is that the revised proposals strike an appropriate balance in terms of the trade-off between enhanced risk sensitivity and complexity, as I've said. And we also feel quite strongly that industry should be able to find ways to present the drivers of changes in required capital in a manner that supports sound decision-making and capital management. The dynamics of insurance business are complex, and it's incumbent on boards and senior management of insurers to have a sound understanding of those dynamics. Oh, sorry, I've gone too far. There we are. So the second theme, broad theme that I want to touch on is pro-cyclicality, and I won't add a lot to what was in the discussion paper on this. As you're all aware, pro-cyclicality is about the magnifying effect that can occur in adverse conditions and potentially make an insurer's position worse. And it was indicated that in the consultation process that there were a number of areas of the proposals that were unduly pro-cyclical, and in particular areas like the multiplicative stresses for real interest rates, inflation and volatilities were targeted, and there were some other elements as well. We have made changes to our proposals to reduce the pro-cyclical features to the extent possible and appropriate. So we have changed the real interest rate shock to make it capped. We've made the inflation risk shock now additive, and the volatility shocks have been removed or changed. And again, there are some other changes that we've made. But I think it's important to acknowledge that it is actually not possible to entirely remove pro-cyclicality from the capital framework. So we've done what we think we can at this stage. We look forward to your response on the revised proposals and any further areas where we can improve, but I think we have to accept that there will remain some level of pro-cyclicality. Conservatism is the other big theme that came through in the consultation period. That is, concern at the overall increase in capital levels or in required capital for individual insurers and for the industry as a whole, and as has been noted, this was supported by the outcomes from the first quiz. It was also argued that there were excessive layers of conservatism in the proposals, and that the probability of sufficiency of where we landed exceeded our indicated target level. Now, APRA acknowledged from the outset that we needed to undertake the first quiz to assess the impact of its proposals and the areas of conservatism so that we could identify these and address them as appropriate. And we've done that through a range of changes to the proposals that we do expect to substantially mitigate the impact on required capital levels for both individual insurers and for the industry. We won't be able to assess how well we've achieved that and what the impact of the revised proposals is until we've completed analysis of the second quiz submissions. Some need for further changes to the proposals is anticipated, particularly for life insurers, as has been noted. It's also appropriate, I think, to make a few other observations on this theme of conservatism. Firstly, it is clear from the first quiz, and I'm sure you've observed yourselves, that the impact of the proposals varies quite widely across insurers. And that's consistent with our objective to enhance the risk sensitivity of the capital framework. So that's an intended outcome. We do expect there to be changes made by insurers in response to the proposals, for example, by revising aspects of their business and capital management. And again, these behavioural changes are also consistent with APRA's objectives in establishing a capital framework. In doing that, we don't just focus on sufficiency of required capital, i.e. how much capital should be held. We also consider the need to provide appropriate incentives for insurers in relation to the risks they undertake. So the capital charges are set to influence the risk-taking behaviour by insurers across their portfolio. We have endeavoured to clarify, in response to requests for more clarity, the outcome objective of the capital framework. What do we mean by a 99.5% probability of meeting policyholder obligations at the end of 1 year? But it is important to acknowledge that outcome objective is a statement of intent or principle. It is something that is very difficult to measure and it involves considerable judgment. The third theme that came through in this area was around buffers on buffers and are we just adding layer upon capital, and hopefully Ian's comments around Pillar 2 and target capital have addressed those comments or that issue this morning. As I said, the outcomes of Quiz 2 are going to be key in assessing where we've landed with our revised proposals and what further adjustments may be needed. APRA will need to balance the outcome of its proposals for the industry as a whole, across insurers, and also across the different components of the capital framework so that we get the right balance between asset risk, insurance risk, concentration risk, etc. And again, we will take into account those objectives that I mentioned of both ensuring sufficiency but also providing appropriate incentives. Now, that's not an easy task, but we will endeavour to do our best. And as I said, it is important to remember that introducing a more risk-sensitive framework will inevitably impact some insurers more than others, which brings me to the topic of transition. APRA is open to considering transition arrangements where they are needed, but we won't be in a position to really assess the need for transition arrangements until the proposals are finalised. We expect that any transition arrangements will be considered on a case-by-case basis rather than there being a need for across-the-board transition, but that's an open question at this point. And we will provide further detail on transition later in the consultation process and, in reality, probably closer to the release of the final prudential standards. Insurers should not presume, however, that grandfathering arrangements will be provided, and so you should be talking to us sooner rather than later if you envisage any problems in meeting the new requirements by the planned implementation date of January 2013. This slide just provides an overview of our timetable for the capital review, and it's unchanged from what's in the response paper. The particular items that are highlighted in bold are those that are in your court. So they're the dates by which action is required by insurers. I'm going to emphasise again the importance of the second quiz. We need accurate and timely responses to the quiz so that we can undertake more analysis, see where we've ended up, and look at what further adjustments might be needed or appropriate. We have been undertaking a series of quiz training over the last few weeks. I think there's a few more sessions to go, and we'll be providing both general and specific feedback on issues from the first quiz through Q&A and also to individual insurers about some of the issues and errors that we found in the first quiz to try and improve the quality of the second quiz. So I'm going to conclude to leave you all plenty of time to barrage us with questions. They're already coming through on the screen over there. But I want to re-emphasise a couple of points and go back to some of the points that Ian made in the beginning. APRA has given very serious consideration to the consultation feedback that we've received to date, and we've made a number of revisions to our proposals in response to that feedback. We've also sought to clarify, both in the response paper and through today's seminar, and over the coming months, as we undertake consultation, we'll do this more. We want to ensure that there's a sound understanding of the rationale and the intent behind our proposals and the reason why changes have been made, but also the reasons why changes have not been made in some areas. But it's now over to you. This next stage of consultation provides a further opportunity for industry input. We will consider further revisions to the proposals where they're necessary, and we do anticipate that some will be necessary. It is fair to say that our position is much firmer in some areas than it is in others, but in principle, the proposals are not final until the final standards are issued. I think it is also important to note that we are seeking well-founded arguments for change, supported by appropriately rigorous analysis, rather than just unsupported assertions. So we look forward to your submissions and the quiz responses in due course. We also look forward to your questions today. As I said, there'll be an opportunity to ask questions about some of the more technical aspects in the next session, so we'd like in this session to focus on some of the broader themes and issues that Ian and I have talked about. Thank you.